Again in verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." We know what kind of a physical condition this woman was in. We're told that here for 12 years she had been bleeding. Some of you ladies might imagine what something like that would be like, the weakness that would be involved in it, the pain. I wonder what her mental state was. I've often thought of that. What kind of a mental state would this dear lady have been in? You know, our bodies and our souls are so woven together that you can't hardly afflict one very long and very hard that you afflict the other. Mentally and physically, we're bound together. I would suppose that this poor woman was very anxious and very oppressed. I think her situation would indicate that, because in verse 26, she suffered many things of many physicians and spent all she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. One of the things I know from experience that is associated with anxiety and depression is a sense of helplessness. This woman could not be healed of any. She had spent all she had. How helpless she felt. She could not help herself, and nobody else could help her. But I think probably she reached the stage of hopelessness, because Luke tells us she could not be healed. She held out some hope, maybe for 10 years, 11 years. And finally, the doctors convinced her, "Lady, your case is hopeless. We cannot help you." I've had friends, and I've had relatives. I've had people that I love very dearly that have gotten so depressed and felt so helpless and hopeless, they took their own lives. I had two friends that Joe and I graduated with. Theirs were probably out of foolishness. Had another dear friend that he felt so hopeless. Another friend that he got in the same way. A dear uncle that got in a hopeless situation and took his own life. If anybody, I think, had a reason, a right to despair of living, it would have probably been this lady. But she didn't. She didn't. The Lord has put something in a man and in a woman, even something naturally, that wants to live. Wants to live. 12 years this woman had been afflicted, but she still wanted to live. She wanted to enjoy life. You know, that's a gift of God. Turn over with me to the book of Job, chapter 3. You hold Mark and turn over to the book of Job. Chapter 3, a couple of places, chapter 3 and chapter 5. Look in verse 12 of Job chapter 3. I'm sorry, it's not Job, it's Ecclesiastes. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Turn over to Proverbs, then go to your right in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Look here in verse 12. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. To get up of a morning, to go to work, whether you work at home or someplace outside the home, to eat, to enjoy God's creatures in this world, to really enjoy life, that's a gift of God. Look here what he says in chapter 5 in verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen is this. It's good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he hath under the sun, all the days of his life which God giveth him. For it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. And I tell you, after you've lived a few years, you begin to realize that, don't you? To enjoy this life. And I don't know who could enjoy this life more than a believer, more than a child of God, because you enjoy God. You enjoy God. Back over here in our text, what was it that helped this woman? Where did her help begin? 12 years, she felt helpless, and then that led to hopelessness. But then she got some help. And here's where help began. Where did it come from? We're told here in verse 27, and when she heard of Jesus. That's where her help began. When she heard of Jesus. If you and I want to help somebody, and we want to help one another, here's what we have to do. Talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what will help us and what will help others. It don't have to be a deep theological discourse. You don't have to sit down and say, I've got a half a chapter here I want to open up to you. You know, seldom we're going to help anybody by some deep theological discourse. We're going to rack our brain. One of the reasons that a lot of people don't say anything is because they think, I don't know that much about the Scripture. I can't sit down and explain the Scriptures. You know, sometimes when a person is really, really in trouble, you ain't going to give them some deep theological discourse to help them. Did you know that? You're going to lose them, aren't you? You're going to lose them. She heard of Jesus. And if you're going to tell somebody of Jesus, you're not going to help them very much by just simply saying Jesus is the answer. Trust Christ. That ain't going to help them much either. It says here in verse 27 that she heard of Jesus. What did she hear of him? Probably not very much. She probably didn't hear very much of him at all. But you know, it don't always take much, does it? If it's about Jesus. She heard of Jesus. I remember when Spurgeon told the story of his conversion. When the Lord saved him, he was out in the streets of London on a late evening and it snowed, it got so deep they'd canceled the service that he was attending. Just a young teenage boy, a miserable child, convicted of sin, and he went into a little Methodist chapel. The pastor hadn't been able to get there, so one of the men got up in the pulpit to read a passage of Scripture. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the world, for I am God and there's none else." And Spurgeon said he sat there as the man read his text, and he was so illiterate, he said you could hardly understand him. But he read his text and repeated it two or three times, "Look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God." And Spurgeon said he looked down at me and he said, "Young man, you're the most miserable young man I've ever seen in my life." He just opened Spurgeon's conscience up. Spurgeon said, "I was indeed a miserable young child." He examined him and he reached this diagnosis: "You're a miserable young man." And he said, "Young man, you're going to live and you're going to die in your misery if you don't look to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved." And that's all he said. But that's all he needed to say. Because he told young Spurgeon where he was, and he told him about a Savior that could save him. And Spurgeon said, "That very instant, I looked and I was saved. I looked and I lived." And he never ceased to preach, "Look unto me and be ye saved." But it don't take much if it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. She heard of Him. She heard of Him. She probably heard of Him in a simple story. That's probably what she heard. I doubt seriously if someone took the Scriptures and sat down with her and explained who Christ was to her. I bet she heard of Him from somebody that had experienced what He had done for them personally, or they told about what He had done for somebody else. It came in a true story, but I bet it came in a simple story that somebody told her. Let me give you some examples. Mark tells us of them in chapter 5 that you and I read our text from. You remember when the Lord Jesus had just came from the country of Gadara? He had found this man that had a legion of devils, and he had cast the devils out of this man. And they entered a swine and went down over the hill, and they all were choked. And that man was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And the Lord Jesus was ready to come back over here where this woman was. And the man said, "Lord, let me go with you." And He said, "No, you go home and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you." I wonder if that was the story that reached her. They were amazed when they heard it. Did you hear what happened with that maniac? The Lord Jesus, the Son of Mary, rules over devils, and He cast them out of that man. Did you hear about that? She probably heard of Him in a story, a simple story. And then in chapter 4, Mark tells us of that crossing of the Sea of Galilee. Maybe she heard of that. Maybe she heard from Peter or John or James or one of the other apostles. Boy, let me tell you what happened out on the Sea of Galilee last night. You're not going to believe this. We were out there and we thought surely we were going to drown. These hurricane winds came through. We couldn't see. We were so blinded by the mist in the air. It burned our skin, and the waves was coming into the ship. And our Master rose and spoke to the wind and the sea. And there was a calm. There was a calm. I was there. You should have been there and seen what He did. There was a calm, a great calm. Boy, if she'd have heard that, don't you think that was appealing to her soul? Oh, I haven't been calm in my soul for 12 long years. Could the Lord Jesus calm my soul? She heard of Him. And then in chapter 3, we're told of this man that was in the synagogue who had this withered hand. It was all drawn up. And the Lord Jesus just spoke to that man with a withered hand and said, "Stretch forth your hand." And lo and behold, he did. And it was restored whole as the other. Maybe somebody told her of that. Maybe he told her. And then in Mark chapter 2, we have this man with a palsy. Remember that? He couldn't walk. He laid on the street. Sometimes they'd take him out and lay him down on his little cot, and he'd lay there with his cup. Maybe this lady had come by and put a little money, a little change in his cup, if she had any left over from the doctors. And those four men carried this man with a palsy, led him down through the roof in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord saw their faith, and he said to that man that lay there upon that cot, "Your sins be forgiven. Take up your bed and go into your house." And here comes this woman down the street. And in a day or two, she comes back down and she don't see this man laying on his cot. "Where's old so-and-so that had been laying on the cot?" "Oh, you haven't heard?" And they tell her the story. "Oh, this Jesus of Nazareth can forgive sins. He can say to a man that can't walk, 'Take up your bed.' Didn't even have to go to therapy. Send him home glorifying God. Oh, that's just what I need." And then you go back to chapter 1 and we're told the story of that leper that was full of leprosy. So the word was out. The Lord Jesus could do great things. And he was doing great things. He was the great physician. Devils were subject to him. Sickness was subject to him. And this woman thought to herself, "He could do that for me." And that's the first encouragement she had had for all of these years. A little ray of light come into her darkness. And her despair began to vanish. And she thought within herself, "If I can just touch him, I'll be whole." But when did this start? When she heard of Jesus. If you and I want to help one another, brothers and sisters, in our time of trouble, just tell what you know and what you've experienced with the Lord Jesus yourself. You don't have to tell something you don't know. Just tell what he's done for you. Or tell what you know that he's done for somebody else. Don't ever underestimate the power of a personal testimony. Something you've experienced with the Lord. Dear old John Bunyan, he got religion. And he started sitting under these deep theological preachers. And it had no effect upon him at all. And one day, he was walking down the street. And on the other side of the fence, he heard these two old ladies talking about the love of Christ to their souls. And how the Lord had visited them. And he was convicted and brought to the Lord by that means. Why was it so critical that she hear of the Lord Jesus? It encouraged her to come to him. Hearing of him encouraged her to come to him. And when she had heard of him, she said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment." You know why we love to read the book of Psalms. Brother Terrence read the book of Psalms this evening to us. You know why we like the book of Psalms so much. It's full of experience. Most of the time, when you go to the book of Psalms, you start out and David or one of the other writers is in trouble. And they're talking to themselves about it. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Why are you so troubled? Hope in God. And they tell us about all the trouble they're in and having, and they're seeking the Lord, and before the psalm's over with, somebody's obtained deliverance. The Lord has visited. It's experience. And we go there to the psalm, and they say, I can relate to that. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with me. I can relate to that. I like that. It's a story that David had experienced. Tell people what you know of the Lord. And don't underestimate the value of it if the Holy Spirit is pleased to use it. In verse 27 through verse 29, this woman not only heard of Jesus, she came to Him and experienced His power. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you told someone a story of Him and that enticed somebody to say, I think I'll go to Him. And they'd come to Him as this woman did. She heard of Jesus and came in the press and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed. If I may but touch. Boy, the Lord did a lot of miracles when He was here. And you know one of the ways He did a lot of them? Either by touching somebody or being touched by somebody. Listen to these passages. Remember when Peter's mother was sick of the fever? The Lord touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered to him. There were two blind men crying out to the Lord Jesus, and they came to Him, and the Scripture said He touched their eyes, and immediately they saw and followed Him in the way. In Mark chapter 7, the man that was deaf and had an impediment in his tongue, the Lord put His fingers in his ears and touched his tongue. And immediately his ears were open and his tongue was loose and he spake plainly. Just the touch of the Master's hand. Matthew chapter 17, the apostles, three of them were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that? And this bright cloud overshadowed them, and this voice spake out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. And they were so fearful they fell on their faces. And the Scripture says the Lord Jesus touched them. And that dispelled their fear. Be not afraid. And they lifted up their eyes and all they saw was Jesus Christ the Lord. Just touching people. Just touching people. Or just a touch. And we can see. Just a touch and we can hear. Just a touch and we can talk. And just a touch from Him, our fears are dispelled. Our doubts flee. Just a touch of the Master's hand. And then we're told here in this passage, she touched Him. And she was made whole of the plague. Look over here in Matthew chapter 14. Look in Matthew chapter 14. And look here in verse 35. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 35. And when the men of that place, Matthew 14:35. When they had knowledge of Him, knowledge that He was there, knowledge of who He was and what He was doing, look what they did. They sent out into all that country round about and brought unto Him all that were diseased and besought Him. They begged Him, asked Him, that they might only touch the hem of His garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Luke chapter 6 said the whole multitude sought Him to touch Him. For there went virtue out of Him and healed them. That's what happened to this woman. There was a lot of people touching Him. That's what the disciples said. But this woman really touched him. She touched him by faith. She said, he has power to heal me. If I can just touch him. And as soon as she touched him, there went virtue. There went power out of him into her. If he touches you, he's going to heal you. If you touch him, you're going to be healed by him. Virtue is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 29, it makes this wonderful statement. And she felt in her body that she was healed. She felt in her body that she was healed. You and I sometimes talk about faith. We live by faith. We're saved by faith. We walk by faith. And some people think when we say that, that we mean that we're blindly walking along. We're so weak. We're so helpless. We're just ready to stumble and fall. We don't know hardly where we're going. We're just walking by faith. That's not what we mean when we say that. There's help. And we receive it. Really and actually receive it. There's strength that we feel in our souls. There is light that actually drives away our darkness. There's a joy that's so real that it replaces our sadness and the heaviness of our spirit. If you come to me and you said, I'm in trouble, and I said, well, you go to the Lord. But I can't be for sure that you'll know it when He helps you. I ain't going to help you by telling you something like that. Saved and never know it. Healed and never realize it. Touched by the Lord of glory and never feel it. I'm not about to tell you something like that. Do you and I ever feel guilt in our soul? Have you ever felt guilt in your conscience? And we felt blood come from His side to heal us. Have you ever had the Lord to touch you? Have you ever touched the Lord? He touched you with His Spirit, touched you with His Word, His presence, touched you with a song, touched you with a look. He looked at you, and He's made you aware of it in your soul. To this man will I look, to him that's of a broken and contrite heart, and I'll make him to know that I've looked upon him with my eyes of pity. Psalms 147 verse 3 says this, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their spirits. You ever had your heart crushed? That's what that word contrite means. When you read that, him that's of a contrite spirit. That means it's being crushed. You ever had your spirit crushed? Your heart broken? And you felt the heaviness of all of this? You felt it. Haven't you felt that? And you feel it when He begins to bind you up. He takes that sore, that wound that's opened and gushing, and He begins to bind it up. And heal it. And you know it. You feel it. I'm talking about a conscience work. A soul work. A work upon our hearts. We know it when He works upon us. Come unto me, all ye that labor. You know something about that, don't you? You know what it is in your heart to be heavy laden? You felt that. Well, in the same way, I will give you rest. Go to Christ. Go to the Lord Jesus. But you'll never know where He does you any good or not. Perish such a doctrine. Perish such a thought. Go to Him. And He'll not only help you, He'll make you to know it. You go to Him with a heavy heart, He'll give you rest for your soul. Go to Him with wounds and He'll heal you. Peace, peace be to him that's far off and to him that's nigh, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. I tell you, make you to know it. It make you to know it. She felt in her body. She knew what was done in her. Look here at another passage. Look here in Isaiah chapter 57. Oh, don't you just long for Him to touch you? And don't you long to touch Him? Touch Him as often as you can. I don't think it would be right for me to tell you that you just touch Him one time and that's it. You feel like you need to touch Him? Touch Him again. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. You've reached out and touched Him, haven't you? Many times you've reached out and touched Him. And there's been times He's reached out and touched you. You've come here and in a message, He's touched you. In a song, He's touched you. In the reading of His Word, in a prayer, He's touched you. And you reached out and you've got to look at Him. You've saw Him. Just a flash. Just a moment. And you've saw Him through the eye of your understanding. And you've touched Him. Look here what He says in verse 15. Isaiah 57. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Isaiah 57:15. Boy, He's high, isn't He? High and lofty, and He inhabiteth eternity, and His name is holy. And I dwell in the high and holy place. But look at this. With Him also that is of a crushed and humble spirit. What does He dwell there for? Well, look at this. To quicken, to restore and recover. Revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the crushed ones. That's why His eye is upon the crushed ones, the humble ones. His eye of sympathy and pity is towards them, and His hand is underneath them, and He restores them and recovers them. If He don't, well, they're going to fall. They can't make it through life by themselves. They'll reach the same place this woman was, depressed because they begin to feel helpless and hopeless. So here the Lord is. He said, I don't dwell alone. I dwell with these people like this. And I dwell with them to restore them and revive them. And how does He do that? By touching us. And by letting us touch Him. That's the way He does. I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wrong. For the spirit shall fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness I was wrought, and I smote him, I broke him. I hid myself, and boy, he cried. And I was wrought, as a father I was wrought, and I chastened him sore. And he went on forward in the way of his heart. In verse 18, I have seen his ways. I think I'll just go ahead and destroy him. I've seen how covetous he is. I've smote him and he's went on. Like a wild ass's coat out in the desert. I'm going to destroy him. Is that what he said? No. I've seen his ways and I will heal him. Ain't that mercy? Ain't that free grace? I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. I'll touch him and I'll heal him. And I'll let him touch me and it'll heal him. I tell you, there's just one step. I told somebody the other day, they're talking about how their mind was going. There's just one step, a half a step between us and insanity. Do you know that? I've seen people myself that were brilliant people. It wasn't long till they were half crazy. Strong mentally. Strong in their souls. And now they're half crazy. Can only have a good thought. That's how close we are to utter insanity. Letting our spittle drop down on our chin, scratching on the walls in some insane asylum somewhere. I need to touch him, don't you? That's the only way I can keep my insanity and keep from despairing about this sinful life. Lord, touch me. Lord, let me touch you. Let's pray.